looking again to our teaching on the subject of lining up with God's Word to receive healing. We didn't have last week. We ended up skipping that. Just a little bit on the week before because, well, we are is looking into this subject. And we're just going through foundational teaching. The first foundation that we dealt with was we come to the place we have to believe if we're going to receive healing from God, there's things that we must believe. And so we're looking at things that we need to believe. And we talked about the fact that we must believe that it's God's will for everyone to be well. And we looked through the scriptures. We don't have time to go back and look at that. But we looked through scriptures and to lay that foundation that it is the will of God. Just as it's the will of God that all be saved. So I've had people ask me already, well, if it's God's will for everybody to be healed, why isn't everybody healed? And I said, well, is it God's will for everybody saved? And they go, yeah. And I said, well, then why isn't everybody saved? It's funny how people's minds think. I mean, it's like, I think it's almost an insanity. But you know, you get over into areas of darkness, it makes you stupid. It does. You can't even think logically. And it's, to me, is why anybody would think because it was God's will for people to be healed that everybody automatically would be healed. And why wouldn't you think that? I guess there is a lot of people today who think everybody's going to be saved. There's a lot of Christians got in that the craziness that, you know, everybody will just be saved, you know, because God's love, you know. Love would never do anything. And we found that in... There's one thing, if we're going to believe, and we looked at things in the Word, if you want to be healed, if you don't, there's no way that you could believe you receive, like Jesus said when you pray, if you don't believe it's God's will for everybody to be healed, well then, well, how could you pray? How could you know it's God's will for you? Well, how could you believe you receive what you don't know that it's God's will for you to have? Well, you couldn't do that. So, it isn't a matter of that's something that you would be nice to believe, it's good if you do. If you don't believe it, if you don't have that foundation in you, you're not going to receive from God. I mean, that's just it. You're not going to. You have to know it's the will of God for you to have something, for you to believe for that. And so, we're looking into these areas. And we're going to find as we go along in these teachings that all this stuff just, it doesn't work for healing. We're emphasizing healing, that part. But this stuff works in all kinds of stuff. It works, you know, in other areas also. You need to know that it's God's will for you to have certain things or to do certain things. If you need to have that basis in you that's His will for people to have things or do things, for you to stand and believe God for yourself. Now, the last time we taught, we got over in the area of God being a liberal giver. And this was the next foundation that we began to look at, is God is a giver. And you have to be able to understand that God is a giver. It's a foundation. You have to be able to see God in that way. And what we did is we went over into James, the first chapter, and we looked at James and we read 5 through 7 there where it says, if any of you lack wisdom, he says, let him ask God who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he would receive anything from the Lord. So we looked and we went through these scriptures. We found out in the areas of wisdom that God wanted people to have wisdom. Well, how does God? God, we found out, He gives wisdom liberally. And we're looking at God. We're going to go through this and look about God and His giving. And God's a liberal giver. This is the way God operates, not just in the area of wisdom, but He operates in this area in all things. But we did find out that there would be a problem for an individual. It told us, and we looked at the fact that we're to tell somebody who is in a certain position that if they do a certain thing, that they're not going to receive it from God. They're not going to receive what they've asked for. See, many people ask God for something. Asking in itself doesn't mean that you receive it. You must ask according to what the Bible calls faith. And understand this, it's what the Bible calls faith. It is not what people call faith. For you and I must be in line with the Word of God of what it says faith is. A lot of people have a lot of ideas. If you talk to people about, I've heard, you know, over the years people would say, well, what's your faith? And what they mean is, what group you belong to? Well, that ain't faith. You know, that's a person who belongs to a certain denomination or a group doesn't mean they have any faith in God just because you belong to a group. There are people who are within groups who teach about faith and they're right teaching, but yet they're not in no more faith than a man on the moon. So when we so liberally use these terms that after a while they become meaningless things. You know, I meet people all the time are trusting God. I just had a person ask me to believe God for them in a certain area, and yet the next statement they made, I knew that they weren't in faith at all about it, but yet they're asking me to believe with them. Well, they're not even in faith, so I can't believe with them. There's no way I can agree with them because they're not in faith. And so we need that. But see, people think they're in faith. They say, well, I believe God for this thing. But they said, we're just going to believe God, you know, for a certain thing. And then he said, well, it's in God's timing. Well, that, if it's in God's timing, then what do you believe in? They wanted to take place in a shorter period of time. Well, you can't believe it's going to take place in a shorter period of time. You believe you have no control over that. And God's going to, he don't even tell you what he's going to do. So it's an impossibility to be in faith. They're not no more faith than a man on the moon, but they asked me to do that. You need to understand this. This is what is called wavering. They're a waverer. They believe you can ask God for it, but they don't believe God gives it to you when you ask. That's a waverer. They're wavering. You know what the word says? They should not expect to receive anything from God. They're not going to get it from God. They're not going to get from God what they've asked because if they do get it, it might just be because of the situation they're in. If the parties, you know, do something a little bit faster, well, I've seen sinners get stuff faster, and they never prayed a lick. But they can't because they're just throwing it out there, and they're talking about using faith. You need to understand. I wish I could get across this to people. They wonder why things don't work, and in this instant, it doesn't work because what are they doing? They're wavering. They don't view God as a liberal giver. They don't know whether he wants to do it or they don't want to do it. They don't know. That's wavering. So a lot of people think wavering is sometimes believing and then you quit believing and then you go back to believing. That's not what it's talking about. When you ask God for something, you need to believe he gives it to you. Many people ask God for things, but they don't believe he gives it to them. And that person should not. They're waiting for something, for God to do something. You're supposed to believe at the time that you ask for it, that you believe you receive it. That's when you're supposed to believe. That's what Jesus said. Jesus is the highest authority. If Jesus said that's what you have to do to get your prayer answered, then therefore that's it. We're going to have to take Jesus at his word. So always do that. Take Jesus at his word. So we're supposed to ask, it said a double-minded man, this is the person who is, it said they're unstable in all their ways. In other words, and then really you go from a Christian standpoint, people who have that kind of belief, they use that kind of stuff all the time. And they're always unstable in their believing. They're always unstable. They're never stable in what they believe. Why? Because they use that principle. I ask God for it, but it's always over in his will, whatever he wants to do. What? Now, that don't make any sense at all. How could I ask if I believe I receive it if he's making another decision? Well, I have no place to stand on that. I mean, it's crazy. But yet, people follow it all the time. They do. People do that kind of stuff all the time. And they're talking about faith. Now, we want to go on in this because we're going to go through other things in teaching because we want to look at God as being the liberal giver because he is. He said he gave wisdom liberally. And we want to find because we look at other things and we want to look at other pictures in the Bible of scriptural references of God who is the liberal giver. And I want you to look at 1 Timothy. We want to go over to 1 Timothy sixth chapter. 1 Timothy to the sixth chapter. We want to see here in God as being a liberal giver. And that's you need to see this. You need to understand that God gives liberally. We talked about in James where it said that God, you know, he gives liberally. And the King James, I think he says he upbraids not. In the, it said... We're supposed to get, he says, God who gives all things liberally without reproach. And that word without reproach is really the idea that in the Greek is a word that God gives In other words, not holding against you any kind of things you may have done wrong. So in other words, if you did something wrong, God's not going to hold it against you. If you come to Him in faith, God will respond to you. So in other words, God's going to say, look, you messed up and did a dumb thing, so I ain't going to give you wisdom to get out of your trouble you're in. That would be like what God's saying. God's telling you. Here James wrote, no, God will give it to you. He won't hold it against you that you blew it, made a mistake. He's not going to hold that against you. He's going to turn around and give you what you asked for, and you're supposed to believe that. See, many people messed up, and they get over in the areas and say, well, you know, I messed up, and so I'm going to have to live with this. Well, why don't you talk to God about that one instead of coming up with your own idea on that subject? Because if you need wisdom in an area, God will do it liberally, do it without reproach. He's not going to hold against you a wrong. He's not going to do that. So we come over here, we're going to find out. Now that's there in the areas of wisdom. But look what God says here. He's going to talk about wealth, because we're going to find out God's a liberal giver over in this area of wealth. He's liberal when He gives. In verse 17 says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now listen to this. Who's God? So command those who are rich in this present age. Don't be haughty, or don't get yourself thinking you're better than somebody else. Now, you know, most people think about, oh yeah, according to our culture, you know, somebody that's rich and weak. You know, but most Americans don't consider the fact that worldwide we're rich. Most all of them, we're rich to most of the world's population. All of us are rich. You know, when I travel to other countries, and they find, you know, they'll all talk about our lifestyles, and you show them the cars you drive and the stuff that you do, you're rich. The stuff that you have and the stuff that you do, you're rich. And sadly to say, most Americans are haughty. They don't put themselves in that classification. Americans don't see themselves. Well, they look at, you know, wow, look at this guy out here. He's a billionaire. He's a rich guy. This guy's a millionaire. He's a rich guy. They don't understand themselves. It's what they're trusting in riches too. That's why most Americans are living off the government, because they're looking for their God to take care of them. They want riches. They don't have trust in God. They have trust in government. And government's got to take care of me. And most people are in that category. They don't view themselves in that way, but they are. So, you know, the idea of having, you know, plentiful things, we do. We got all kinds of stuff, dear Lord. I mean, you go to most Americans, you know, most of all of us, you go into our houses, we have all kinds of stuff. And we got all kinds of stuff we never use. We got more stuff. We got more things and stuff. And there's nothing wrong with, because we found this. He said, God gives this stuff, us richly, all things what to enjoy. You know, most Americans, even with what they got, they don't enjoy it. They're trying to hold on to it. They're not really enjoying it. People don't want to enjoy things. People just got to have things. There's loads of people who are, you'd go out here today, who would be in this category, who they got money, they got good money in the bank, but oh, they're saving. You never know when I might get in trouble and need money, and they'll hoard their money, they'll hold their money, and I have this, and they're over here on the other side, they're even doing without things. People would do without things that they need, because they're holding on to this money, they're afraid someday that money might not be there, and I might have a problem, and you know what? God ain't going to be a liberal giver to me. God won't be liberal. See, many people don't see God, even Christians. They don't see God as a liberal giver. They have to control over wealth because they, you know, really, they don't enjoy their wealth. They don't enjoy it. He said, God, now listen to this. We're supposed to tell rich people that God gives us everything, all things to enjoy. We're supposed to tell rich people that. God gave you everything? Well, my words. They'll criticize you today if you enjoy your stuff. Christians will criticize you like crazy if you enjoy it too much. God's gives all everything to enjoy. So you got to enjoy it. You'll never enjoy money until you can give it away. You'll never enjoy things as long as they hold you and you have to hold them in possession that I can't ever let this go. You'll never really enjoy it. It owns you more than you own it. So you want to enjoy things. Now this. God gives us everything liberally. He gives us this stuff. He gives us richly. It says richly. You look up that word, it means abundance. It means, you know, beyond normal. It's, in other words, he's giving it away. This is a rich giving. So God's a rich giver. He gives richly. In other words, he gives a lot. He gives abundantly. This is how he does it. You should never view God in any other way. It'll always, you know, this is why you gotta, you know, when I started off in Christianity, you know, $1,000 seemed like a big money. You know, that seemed like a lot of money. I mean, today I realize $1,000 ain't nothing. But yet still, most people, $1,000 is a lot of money. $1,000 ain't nothing. When you talk about somebody giving richly, what's $1,000? Ain't a lot. You think about it. You got to think. God gives richly, or he gives in abundance. If you don't see God in that way, you can't believe God for much. See, most people believe that God will supply all of your need. And that's, you know what they have their idea of need is? Enough to get by. That is need. You only need, you know, you don't need a steak. You can eat chicken all the time, or maybe not even chicken. You know, you can just have the hamburger once in a while and a hot dog. You don't really need the good chicken breast. You know, you could go out here and eat, you know, back meat or something. I don't know. Or like that stuff they make, it has rib meat. Whatever that is, I don't know. I never found any meat on a chicken's ribs. So I don't know what that is. It's rib meat. But anyhow, if you don't get away from that thinking, if you don't move from that, because it tells us what? God is a rich or an abundant giver. He gives in abundance. This is the way God gives. He's abundant and he's giving. So you need to take on, we're supposed to tell rich people, if this is one thing that will set you free. This sets you free about possessions, that we don't have to worry about possessions, because if I need something, God will liberally give me something. He'll richly give to me. So I don't have to turn around and be a hoarder. I can always have stuff. Hoarding is always demonic, always. Never is it any other thing than demonic. And I'm going to tell you, there's loads of people that you don't go into their house and they may not have paths that you walk through, but they're hoarders. They hoard stuff, keep stuff, because they're afraid they can't get it back. My mom was that way. You went to my mom's house, you didn't walk through paths, but my mom was a hoarder. You went and looked at her drawer, she kept things and that stuff, and stuff that, you know, well, my words, you know, she had old material and stuff she keep. One day, you just never know. You just never know, you know, because why? The fear, and it was demonic, got in her during the Depression because of lack. But they went to churches that didn't tell them God was a liberal giver. They told them, you're poor, well, you're blessed. Oh, God, you know, has a purpose in you being poor and all this kind of stuff. They were told those things. They believe wrong. And she got over in that area, and really it was a stronghold in her life that the devil held. And it was that way till she died. She never got over that. Till she died. The devil kept her bound in that area. My mom lived had a good life, had stuff, but always lived like she didn't have it. Always lived like she didn't have when she had. That was her way of life. And you know, it's not changing it. You got to change the way you think. Here he tells rich people, why would he say this? He said, command these rich people. He said in this present age, don't be haughty, but trust in uncertain riches. You know, riches can come and go. But with God, riches don't come and go. He gives abundantly. See, if you don't have faith in God, you're stuck. When the economy goes up and down and that stuff, that's all you got. You're gonna try to live according to that because you don't see that you can get from God. You're gonna be looking to where you got your stuff before. Well, my words, things are bad, so now what are we gonna do? So, it's a matter of thinking wrong. So, Paul told to tell rich people not to trust in the riches. Don't trust in riches. Don't trust in them. Because here's one thing, if your faith is in riches, number one, you're not going to be a liberal giver, so you're not going to be like God. And if you don't give, it ain't going to be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. See, many people want that, I give, I want pressed down, shaken together, and running over. They don't give pressed down, shaken together, and running over. They don't give in that manner, yet they want it in that manner. And why? Because they think wrong, their trust is in the money. I want to give some and get an abundance. I don't want to be an abundant giver and get it. But why? They're afraid God's not going to give that to them. They're afraid they're not going to get. Paul's telling these people, you got it. Why? You need to trust in God, because God gives richly, or He's an abundant giver. And He gives everything to enjoy. Everything's supposed to be given so you enjoy it. So God isn't selfish. God's neither tight-fisted. He's not a penny pincher. You know, many people today, you get people around and they'll call themselves conservative with money. Many of them ain't conservative, they're tight. They're just tight-fisted. They're not conservatives. You know, when it comes to giving, Christians are always supposed to be liberal. Why? That's the way our dad is. You were created. If you're born again, the nature in you is to be liberal in giving. That's our nature. That's why I can never understand a Christian who's tight-fisted, because that's exactly what got me born again. When I got born again, I became the opposite of that. I wanted to give. I can't understand people that don't have the desire to give. I don't understand that. I can't understand a born-again Christian who don't want to give. To me, that's beyond, because when I got born again, that's one of the things that I noticed about me at change, was the desire in me to give. Well, I found out why after studying the Bible. The reason it happened is I got God's nature in me, and that nature in me wanted to follow after Dad. Wanted to act just like Dad. Dad's a liberal giver. And when I found out that I didn't have to worry about giving away, that God was a liberal giver, that was a huge thing to find out. That was enormous. That was a great thing to find out. That I no longer had to worry about money. Thank you, Jesus. Set you free. Right now, in our society, the financial thing is such a huge weight in our nation, is 99% of our problems. And it isn't because America doesn't have money. It's America's acting like it don't have money. It's living in fear and worry. Our politicians on both sides of the aisle are just, they're insane, because they're yielded to the wrong spirit. They're yielded to wrong things, and it causes them to make wrong decisions. But the people are following suit. Everybody's living in worry. You can't live in worry and at the same time live in faith. That's impossible. You can't do that. It'll never happen. So you're supposed to know the fact that God is not tight-fisted. He's a very liberal giver. He gives in abundance. He's a rich giver. Hallelujah. He's rich in it. And so James said that really God's a liberal giver. And that Paul really has said God's a rich giver. He's a rich giver. Now, I want you to get thinking about this. You know, you need to get that into your thinking. Start to get that into your areas. Just like with wisdom. He didn't hold it back. Because if you made a mistake, God was liberal. He would liberally give wisdom. Here we find out He operates exactly the same way with money. In money. Why? He ended that. Now listen when He ended and said that. What does it? Who gives us richly all things, not some things. Did He say all things or did He say some things? What is it? Paul wrote, said He gave us all things. Everything that God gives you is so you can enjoy it. You know, God gave you salvation. You should enjoy it. You know, many Christians don't enjoy their salvation. They don't enjoy it at all. They don't enjoy their salvation. Salvation, their Christian life is always a labor. It's always, oh, it's not easy living a Christian life. It's not easy out here, I'll tell you. That living a sinful life is so easy. It's so easy and rewarding. It's like, give me a break. He got you born again, and it's a life that you should be downright enjoying. And if you're not, something's wrong with you. It ain't God. Enjoy it. You're saved. You're not going to hell. God, you're a child of God, dear Lord. You're not under, you're not under the wrath of God, which the rest of the world is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But God's given you everything richly to enjoy. All things. God gave you health. You're supposed to enjoy health. He didn't say He gave God, well, if God made you sick, and I'm going to just say this to people. Well, God made you sick, and you said He made you sick. Well, then enjoy it. Quit trying to get rid of it, you idiot. Quit trying to get rid of it. Why do you go to the doctor? Try to get rid of what God gave you to enjoy. Think of the stupidity. God, here it says it in Scripture. I'm just going with the Bible. The Bible says that He gave it to you to enjoy. So what God's given you, there's nothing the matter with enjoying things that you got. Let me just tell a little story. Wanda and I were coming back one time with the kids from Oklahoma. We're coming back for a visit between our being out in Oklahoma. I think it was during school. I don't think it was one of our trips back to camp meeting. It could have been, but I think it's one of our trips back, and we stopped at a hotel on the way back. And we stopped, and a truck pulled in. When we pulled in, this truck, flatbed truck, pulled in with a brand new Ferrari sitting on it. Beautiful, brand new. Spotless Ferrari sitting in the back of this thing. And these two guys get out. They were probably all maybe around mid-20s to 30 years old. And so this Ferrari sitting on the back. Well, I talked to the guys. I saw the guys with the Ferrari on. And the guy said to me, that he told me the story. What they do is they stop the hotel. One guy would go in and sleep for so long, and then he'd come out and guard. And the other guy would, you know, they'd take turns guarding this thing. Well, people steal. Man, they see a Ferrari on the back of the truck. You see a $500,000 car sitting on the back of a truck? It's sitting there. But we asked him about it, and he said, oh, they said, we work for this guy. He's just super rich. And he buys these cars. He'll go down and buy one. He never drives them. He takes them, sits them in warehouses and in there, you know. But he does it, you know, from a standpoint, they say it's an investment, but you'll find out this. He'll live and die and never get rid of any of his cars, and he'll die, and all those cars will sit, and it'll go on into inheritance to somebody else. And his kid one day will go jump in the cars and go take them for a drive. But they'll sit. He don't drive them. He just stores them. Said they take them in. They put them in a place that they're stored. They jack them up and, you know, and everything. And they set them all up for the, you know, these things are untouched. Which, you know, I often thought about it at that time. I thought, that guy gets these Ferraris. He has one sitting there, brand new Ferrari. He never enjoys them. Never enjoy. Gets that thing. Why? Well, this is this thing, is this treasure, and I just got to keep. Now, to us, sound that crazy, but don't tell me that all kinds of people do that. You go to their house, they have all kinds of things they don't ever use, and if somebody wants to touch it, oh, no, don't touch that, don't touch that. They have all their stuff. People do that all the time. My mama was like that. My mama had a thing of silverware, real silver, a beautiful set. I can remember a couple times that was used, but generally that sucker was not, because that was good stuff. There was never occasion for the good stuff. She had good china, and you don't ever use good china because that's good stuff. To me, as if you know where it belongs if you can't use it? In a garbage can somewhere. If it can't be used, it's worthless. What is it? Is that all things? We live in a world where people are hoarding and hoarding and hoarding, and they never see themselves as a hoarder, but they have their treasures. Nobody can touch it. You can never have it. We never enjoy that. We just look at it every once in a while and say, I have it. We don't enjoy things. You know, it's no difference than that guy having that Ferrari. Just think, man, I'm sorry. If I can afford to have it, I'm going to go drive that thing every once in a while. You know, I'm just going to go get in that thing. I just, you know, it's like me. It's like, what is the point of having that thing and you don't enjoy it? Enjoy it. Enjoy your stuff. Don't matter, use it. Enjoy it. I always thought about him. Thought, never enjoys what he has. They said, oh, they said he has warehouses. He has cars. And they said he has loads of stuff. You know? I always thought about, you know, the guy Tonight Show, Jay Leno. Jay Leno has all these big, he has loads of, one of the greatest collections of things. But he will drive. Gets into a drive. I always thought, that's a smart man. But he enjoys it. He loves it. He loves those things. But he enjoys those things. In fact, he even gives people sometimes. He'll have ones he'll give people. But you know, the whole thing of it is, I always thought, he's a smart man. He loves that kind of stuff, but he enjoys that kind of stuff. He enjoys it. He don't sit around and do it. He don't hide it in a warehouse. Nobody sees it. He lets people come to his place and go through and look at his cars. I was reading an article about a young boy that he had love those kinds of things. His dad got to come to Jay Leno's place and bought him along. And Jay Leno, this one car is worth, and I forget how many millions it's worth. It was a car that Jay Leno had. He had restored. It's beautiful and that stuff. And Jay Leno let this little kid, go ahead, get in it. Go ahead, get into that. I thought, well, at least he has sense to enjoy. More sense than a lot of Christians got. You know, my mama wouldn't even use her Tupperware. It was the good stuff. Because she could get the containers from the store and reuse them. But she knows how to think about that. I mean, and I'm trying to knock my mom, but you get into that kind of thinking, people get that way. Well, see, we look at God, and what happens is we never recognize the fact that we're operating in a place of fear, we're operating in a place of bondage, we're operating in a place where we're not in faith with God, like we can't get stuff replaced, or we can't have better, or we can't, so we got to protect this, and we don't look at God would liberally give to me. Well, if I don't do this, there's one thing that I believe in big, you take care of the things you have. If you're sloppy about the things you have, you don't take care of them. I agree with Dr. Roy Hicks used to say, you don't take care of the car you got. He said, don't be surprised God don't give you another one. You know, he said, your car may need, you know, a lot of work. It may not be the best thing around, but he said, you always treat it decent. He said, wash it every once in a while. Do something. Take care of it. He said, because he said, you'll do the same thing if you get something better. You ain't going to take care of it. And this is what people do. They don't take care of things. You should always take care of things and treat things properly. You know, we should always be that way about stuff, you know. That don't go like crazy like some people, you know. In my words, every time a dust spot gets on their car, they're out there, you know, washing or something. But we should take care of things, you know. I always thought the story, it was a really good story that was told to us. Ralph Hagelmeyer and his wife, they were missionaries to Africa. Really good ministry they have and schools and stuff that they have in Africa. And Ralph, but his wife told a story about the missionaries, you know, because they said, you know, some people and their ideas are humble and all that kind of stuff. And he said, when we lived in Africa, he said, we never lived like Africans. He said, we lived like Americans. He said, our kids got good educations. He said, he said, we made sure we had good houses. He said, I always treated my children as if, he said, I'm a missionary. He said, but my children may not be missionaries. He said, they may grow up and live in America just because I live in the field. He said, so I need them to have an education. So when they go back to America, you know, they got the right education. He said, you don't send them out there to something. So he said, people used to criticize us for this stuff. But he said, the Africans don't expect Americans and other country people to come in and live like them. They don't expect that. He said, in fact, he told the story. He said, they had a missionary, a woman who was a missionary who was in one village area that was in their region. And he said, like, we had an area, was they call them compounds. He said, was the area where we had our schools, our house, and all this kind of stuff in this area, and that things where we had our Bible schools and things. And he said, we had this compound area, and she was in another area, had a ministry in a compound. And she owned a Volkswagen. I'm not sure what kind it was a car that she had. And anyhow, she never took care of her car. It was always filthy and always just, you know, she just cluttered with junk and stuff all the time. And the people come to her one time and who in the area she was living in. And this chief and some of the people came to her and said, we just want to let you know that we're ashamed of you. They said, when we go around to the areas of the other compounds where the other missionaries live, she said, they always take care of their stuff. And she said, you're our missionary. And she said, you're always sloppy. And she said, your car's always sloppy and filthy. And said, it embarrasses us that you don't take care of your things. You know, oh, this is a humble Christian over here. Just, you know. Oh, I'm not worried about this worldly stuff. You know, this don't matter about the worldly stuff. Well, I'm guarantee you she was using worldly money to try to get, being taken care of. See, people say that kind of stuff. That's ignorance going to seed. It says God gives you everything to enjoy. Didn't say God said, you know, the worldly stuff. When God talks about, the Bible talks about worldly stuff, he's talking about sin. He's not talking about things. Now, your thing may become sin to you on how you use it, but it's not sin in itself. An animate object is not sin. It's what you do with it. You sin with it, not the thing. You sin with it. Or you can do good with it. You can bless with it. Or you can use it and it's useful to you for something. And you might just enjoy it. You know there's things that you can have just to enjoy it? Do you know that? Just because you enjoy it. So, but you're supposed to enjoy it. You're not supposed to have it because, oh, we can't. Enjoy it. So, But God's a liberal giver, and He's giving you stuff so you can enjoy things. He wants you to enjoy them. You need to tell people this. And you know, in fact, when that was written by James, James said, command people who are rich, command them. He didn't say, tell them this is a good idea. He said, you command them. So we want to trust in God. That's, God is a liberal giver. He's very rich, very, very rich in His giving. Now, we want to look back over something said in Romans, the 8th chapter. If we go to Romans 8, Romans, the 8th chapter, start at verse 31. Now listen what it says here. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now I make a statement about God's for us. Now see, here people use these scriptures all the time. God's for us, who can be against us? Most people that quote that scripture believe God's the one's against you. They believe God's the one that holds back. He says, now listen, he who did not spare his own son. Now look at this. Talk about God and he's given. If anybody would tell you that God would hold back healing from you or money from you or this and that, is really spiritually insane. You know, it's one thing for somebody to give a wealth away. God gave his son away. God sent his son into the earth. His son. To come down here and live and then die and pay the penalty, go to hell and pay the penalty to our sin. Folks, there could not have anything of any greater value in the entire universe. You could take all the universe itself and everything that's in it doesn't even come to 1% of the worth of God sending his son to redeem men. Now, if God would send his son, and this is the whole thing he's trying to say here. If God's for you, it says, who can be against you? God, in other words, God sent his son, but and delivered him up for what? Us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us some stuff? All things. What are you going to ask from God that was greater than giving his son? There ain't a thing. There's nothing, absolutely nothing that you could ask God for that would be greater than God already gave his son. Why would God hold back something else from us when he gave his son? I mean, to hold back healing is absolutely stupid. To hold back money, that's stupid. To hold back the thing, the possession you may need or what the wisdom you might need is absolutely ludicrous to think. You know what? That'd be like saying this. You know, God will give you $1 million, but he won't give you 10. He won't give you $10. No, he won't give you $10. He'll give you $1 million, but he won't give you 10. That's what the teaching is that most people have. God gave his son, but he holds everything else back. You don't know if he's going to do it. We're not sure what on earth is going on. It's ludicrous. He just states here, if God's for you, who could be against you? In other words, who could keep you from getting good stuff? Who could keep you from who could come against you? What's going to come against you? God couldn't give you what you need to get out of it or whatever to be overcome. It says what does he do again here? How shall he not with him also freely? Well, what does freely mean? The last time I heard you got something free, it didn't cost me nothing. That's the last I heard. Now, I don't know. Did the definition change? It did in Christianity. Christianity, if you look in Christian dictionaries, they don't have this word, freely. Everything's by works. Everything's works. He said, freely give us. This is why you get into this thinking. You and I work or do good works not to get stuff. We do it because God's given us stuff. We give because God gives us money. We don't give. People who teach just to give to get, they miss the whole thing. If God's blessed me, as the Word says, with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, then therefore I don't have to give to get money. I give because I believe I got money. There's a whole big difference in that. That's where this freedom and this liberality, I can give. Why? Because I can get anything from God I need. I can give. Why? Because He's already given me everything to enjoy. He's already done that. See, change how you think. They've taught you got to give to get. No, that's what they did in the old covenant. If they didn't tithe, the windows of heaven were closed. Jesus Christ opened the windows of heaven. For anybody who accepted Jesus Christ, the windows of heaven are open to them. We are children of God. We're seated in heavenly places. If the heavens closed to me, then I'm not seated in heavenly places. How could it be closed and be seated in heavenly places? I want that one explained. Now, ministers found this very good thing to use to get money out of people, is to tell them that they had to give to get. I don't give to get. I give because I have. I believe I got. I believe because every time I need something, God will give it to me if I ask Him by faith. He'll give it to me. I believe that. He's a liberal giver. He's a rich giver. See, get yourself into that thinking. God's a rich giver. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's not holding back from me. He's giving. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? There's that all stuff. That all stuff again. All. Some. All. You know, one thing about the word all, it's an all-exclusive word. All. He used the word all in things, or all things, or everything. All is everything. All. Is there anything withheld? I wouldn't know. When I read all things, how could we exclude? How could we exclude? You see, we have been limited in our thinking of God's giving. And understand this, God's giving to us is only limited by how we think. Not how by God thinks. God already knows that He, through Christ Jesus, by giving the Son, He has given you access to everything that He has. That's why Jesus said to the Apostle Peter, He said, Peter, He said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. To whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In other words, He said, Peter, the keys are going to be in your hands. They're not going to be in heaven's hands. Whatever you allow to go on, heaven's going to allow it. Whatever you don't allow to go on, heaven won't allow it to go on. He said, the keys, who's going to have the keys? Is Jesus going to have the keys? No, the keys were given to men. When you and I first got born again, we may not have had knowledge of it, but it didn't matter whether we had knowledge. We held the keys. We held the keys. We held the keys. Do you ever think about the fact you hold the keys to salvation? God made the way of salvation. But men, if they want to be saved, all they got to do is we hold the key. We decide whether we're going to receive or not going to receive. That's what we decide. It isn't God deciding. God don't decide that. We do. He made it all available. He said, here it is. Just think about it. The heaven has this bank. And in this bank, all humanity, since the time that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, all humanity, salvation has been deposited to each man's account. Well, now every man don't go draw it out. We went and drew out salvation. We drew out born again. Now in that born again is everything that God got. In that. It's in that account. That account holds everything. Because when you receive Jesus, you receive all things that heaven has. That's why God, if God said he there's people He don't want to have, if there's people He didn't want to be saved, if He didn't want that, then everything else becomes a lie. We can't trust anything else that's being said because we don't know what else would be true. He can't be a withholder. See, He gave us, He said, look, I gave you Jesus. Well, I gave you everything. Now you got it all. When you got Jesus, you got everything that heaven has. See, if Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, then it is only rightfully that you and I sit at the right hand of the Father. We got everything Jesus got. He gave us all things, didn't He? So it's only logical that we are seated at the right hand of God because Jesus won that for us. That was in salvation. To be seated, in other words, heaven's authority. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth, we're sitting on the seat of authority. We're on that seat. You must live out of that seat. That seat says God's a liberal giver to you. Why? You're His child. You know, what decent human being who is a father doesn't want to give his kids good stuff? Only some perverted idiot wouldn't want their kids to have nice things. Only some perverted person. And I'm going to tell you, that is perverted. There are many Christians that are perverted out here. They don't really, you know, the Bible tells us about, you know, about, it says, a person who doesn't take care of their own family is worse than an infidel. In other words, it says he's worse than an infidel is an unbeliever. God considers a Christian who don't take care of their family as worse than being an unbeliever. That's God's view of the person. That's God's view. That ain't Ed's view. That's God's view of a person who don't take care of their family. This I know. If God expects me to take care of my family, then God is going to help me take care of my family. God didn't want my family, me to be poor and not have enough to take care of my family. He couldn't do that. Or he's the problem of me not being able to fulfill His word. He's the problem. See, we got to throw out all this. We got to dig down through all this stuff because crazy stuff has been taught to us. Things have been said over the years to us out of religion that has seeped into our thinking that hold men bound. God has to be a liberal giver because He demanded me to take care of my family. Well, would God want me to take care of my family at the level He would take care of His family? Well, see, He thinks my family's supposed to do without certain stuff. See, we're supposed to take care of our families well. That's why we're supposed to look after things well. God wants us to have good things, and He wants us to take care of things well. So, that's God's plan. So we got to get away from the thinking, the old religious thinking, that thinking about God, because God, if God commanded, said a guy's worse than an unbeliever that don't take care of his family, then God has to be in the business of taking care, giving, being the liberal giver. And we find out He is. He's the liberal giver. He said, now, with Him also freely give us all things. He'll freely give it to you. Freely give it. So if I ask, will He freely give it? If I ask by faith and I don't doubt, will He freely give it? Well, sure. So I know this. My asking isn't trying to get Him to give it. My asking is so He can give it to me. Why? He's been waiting to give it to us. He's been sitting in heaven waiting to give people stuff, and He has not been able to give it to them. The Lord told me one time how much it frustrates Him with His people and how sad He feels about it with His people because He has stuff for them, and they won't ask by faith, and He can't give them all the stuff He wants to give. How it frustrates Him. He's frustrated over the thing. He has all this stuff He wants to give His people, and they don't think He wants them to have. Why? He freely gives it. So I know this. If I'm going to ask, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. All those scriptures. The church world has quoted that stuff and quoted that stuff and quoted that stuff. But that isn't how they view God. They still think we're trying to arm wrestle Him into giving us stuff. We've got to perform some kind of great deed. We got to do. No, He's a liberal giver. He gave us His Son. And now He says, we now have the privilege of partaking and enjoying everything the Father has provided. So the fact that God loved us so much that He sacrificed His Son for us, how can we ever imagine Him saying no to us when we approach Him for healing? How could you ever imagine such a thing? How could that be imaginable in the church? Kenneth Hagin said this. He said in the last days there's going to be a body of people. He said there's going to be church that's going to rise up. People that are going to know their God. Do you know most of the church world, and most what most people call good Christians, don't even know their God? Because most of the church world think God makes people sick. They don't know their God. They don't know Him as the liberal giver. They can't imagine Him as that. I mean, it's like I said before, just the fact that Oral Roberts started saying God's a good God infuriated people in the church. Well, you'll tell them it's a good God, but people will be afraid to sin. My words, we've been telling people that God ain't good and they still sin anyhow. Give me a break. God don't become man, a bad God because of what men do. I mean, if they ever thought of the ludicrousness of what they say, really they don't realize and understand they are under a demonic hold themselves. They are under a demonic hold to believe lies, to believe what is not true. They believe that if you tell people the truth, it's somehow going to hurt the kingdom of God. We hide the truth. You know, hide it. The last I heard, we were supposed to bring truth and light. We're supposed to bring it out in the open. The church does everything it can to hide truth. They're afraid people are going to do something bad. It's absolutely insane. A really good scripture in 2 Corinthians. Into 2 Corinthians. And I like it, in 2 Corinthians. The first chapter. So Paul put it up in the beginning of his writing to them in their second letter. Listen clearly. We've used this scripture before, but really let this scripture become a revelation to you. Verse 20, for all the promises of God in Him, or that's in Him means in Christ. So in Christ. How many of you here today, you're in Christ? Are you in Christ? Are you born again? Are you a child of God? Okay, now. For all the promises of God in Him, in Christ. In other words, if you're in Christ, or what? Yes, and in Him, amen. They're all yes, and in Him, amen. To the glory of God through us. What is it to? To the glory of God. You want to bring God glory? You believe that all of God's promises are a yes to you. They are yes and amen. Amen means so be it or it's so. It's so. That's it. Every promise that God has made is yes to you if you're in Christ Jesus. I can look in the Old Testament and find promises and they are yes to me in Christ Jesus. All the good that God wanted to perform for mankind. When people come along and say, well, no, that was for the Jew, that's a bunch of bunk and junk. All the promises of God are yes. Everything God ever promised stands for me. You know, David made a quote in the 128th Psalm about the man who fears the Lord walks in his way. His wife shall be as a fruitful vine by his house, children as olive plants around his table. Thus shall be the man who fears the Lord. God gave me that, said that promise. He told me that promise out of there. He said, if you walk and do what I tell you to do, I'll take care of your family. He showed me that promise. He didn't say, that was for the Jew. That promise is for, no, that's a promise out of the Word of God that was quoted, that when a person would get that followed what God said that promise belonged to Ed Gibson. And I've walked in that promise and it's worked. It works. You see, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Well, no, this is for him and that's for that, and this is for this and this. All the promises, all. You know, the word all is loaded loads of times throughout. Jesus made the statements through the writings in the epistles. It's all over the place. And yet the church, it is almost an unheard of word. All the promise, every promise that God has made to you because you are in Christ Jesus. Now understand this, it ain't for the sinner. You ain't Christ Jesus, all the promises ain't for you. He said, what are they? In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. See, he's writing to Christians. He's telling them in Christ. You go back and look what Paul wrote to them in the first letter. He talked to them about being in Christ. He wrote to them in this letter about if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. All things are of Christ. All things are of God, he went on to say. But what these things were written? These things were written specifically to the church to know that in Christ Jesus, everything that God promised is yours. Everything's yours. It all belongs to you. Get that into yourself. Get that, drill that into you. Get these scriptures here. You gotta get these things into your thinking. God's a liberal giver. If he's giving you every promise, that's pretty liberal, isn't it? That's pretty richly, Everything is for you. Jesus Christ fulfilled the Old Testament. If He fulfilled the law, then the promises under the law, then they're fulfilled to me, aren't they? Well, people say, oh, they're for the Jews. What ignorance. What stupidity. Then He didn't fulfill the law. The law's not fulfilled. I don't understand how men think in their ignorance. Religion will totally blind you and make you crazy. It'll just make you insane. And we're not going to be insane, folks. Hallelujah. We're going to think right. So, all the promises, hallelujah, of God in Christ Jesus are yes. So in other words, if you ask God for something, what is He going to say to you? No. If you have a, say, Lord, I'm going to ask You for wisdom. I like wisdom. No. See, it has to, understand this, it must be yes. If it isn't yes, then you cannot believe you receive it. It must be yes first, or you couldn't have faith to have it. It has to be yes. Anything that you ask God for and try to do it by faith, if you don't know what His answer would be, you cannot ask it by faith. You might have to ask God, I need to know Your will in a certain area. God, Holy Ghost, teach me what the Bible says in a certain area. Why? So you can learn what it says so you can believe God. But until you know what it says, you can't ask by faith. He told us, anytime you find a promise, say, well, I'm going to take that one. That one's a yes and amen. That one, I found it. That one belongs to me. So if I ask God for that, I know He'll give it to me because all the promises are yes and amen. So I can believe I receive it at the time I ask for it. Why? I'm not waiting for Him ever to say yes. He's already written down in the book. It's already written down yes. The yes is already written. Why would I ask Him, wondering if He's going to give it, if it's already written down that it's yes? You know, when I go to the bank to get money out, I don't ever expect to hear no when I know my money's in my account. I don't ever expect. If they said no, I sure thought I had to walk away and just go forget it. That's what people do in Christianity. They're completely crazy. Well, you're dealing with God, and sometimes He does, and sometimes He doesn't. It's always yes. It's always yes. I want to, we'll close here. I want to go over back to the book of James again. I want to back over and look at James. Something James said. James the fourth chapter. Listen here what James said to people. This is what James said. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure? That war in your members? It's talking about your members, talking about your body, your flesh. We're talking about, in other words, the pleasures of your flesh. He said, where do wars and fighting come from? In other words, where does this, all this stuff that is going, these wars, is just really battles that are going on. Where do they come from, Christians and fussing and fighting? Here's a big thing is why they come. Is because people is doing it. He said, do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? In other words, it's because of people in the flesh. People are trying to get stuff. Now, that's what he says. You lust and do not have. He said you lust. He's talking about the lust of the flesh. He didn't say, he said you lust and you do not have. See, we don't go after things because we lust for them. You don't have because a person's not responding to God by faith. They're responding to God of the lusts of their flesh. You know, to understand this. Possessions in the natural, one person can lust after them. Another person has them and doesn't lust for them at all. They don't lust for them. Those things don't drive their life or anything. They're things that they have, they enjoy, but they're trusting God. So he said, you lust, you do not. He said, you murder and covet and cannot obtain. See, this is acting out in the flesh. These are people trying to get their stuff through the flesh. People out here warring and fighting, doing things, trying to manipulate people out of their stuff. Out here cheating, lying, and everything else. Christians do it, trying to get, I know ministers do it, to get money sometimes. They do stuff. They do it in this manner. He said they don't obtain. He said, you fight in war. yet you do not have because you do not ask. Now, what's he talking about? I'll bet they ask God, they go through the things, a religious asking. But they're not asking according to what the Bible says to ask. They wouldn't be out battling, fighting, and trying to get a hold of things if they knew how to ask by faith. They'd know God gave it to them. They'd know they could receive it. He's talking about people trying to attain things fleshly. That goes right back to what we read starting off in the beginning. People who are trying to attain things, people who have stuff, and he said, tell the rich person, hey, you know, they're supposed to, you know, God gives you everything freely to enjoy. Tell them that. Tell them not to be haughty. Tell them not to hoard stuff. Don't do that kind of stuff. Trust in God. Quit trusting in your wealth. These are people who trust in stuff. They're not asking anything by faith. They probably said, well, I asked God and prayed. No, you didn't. If you didn't ask by faith, you never asked. You might have done some religious thing, but you might as well have been going to Buddha because you didn't know better. He's talking here because he's dealing in the area. Look, he goes verse 3. You ask and you do not receive. What did it say they didn't receive? How come they didn't receive? See what he, somebody said, oh, see, God didn't give it to them. No, he didn't. He said they didn't receive. Why? They didn't pray the prayer of faith. They never believed they received it. They never asked God and then believed they received it. That's why they're warring and lusting. They're trying to do through the natural to get. That's why they're doing that. They're warring in the natural trying to get what they couldn't, they didn't get by faith. They didn't operate in faith. Why didn't they get it? He said, you ask, do not receive. Because you ask amiss. Why? That you may spend it on your own pleasures. You ask amiss. You're trying to do this just the world's way. You're just living by the flesh, acting like you're doing faith things. You're not doing anything for faith. He said, you do not have, he goes in verse 2, he said, why? He said, you do not have because you didn't ask. That's what he said in verse 2. He says, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war. He says, you do not have because you do not ask. Why? What? That statement was made. You didn't ask. Well, they didn't ask by faith. Jesus said we're supposed to ask God. If you want something, you ask God. He said, if you ask him anything in my name, he'll give it to you. Well, see, that sounds like yes and amen. But then he said, what? Here's what they did wrong. They asked, but they did not receive when they asked. They didn't believe they received. And this is what he's trying to tell us here. They did not believe that God's a liberal giver. They did not believe that God would give it to them when they ask. So they end up doing just what the world does. They try to obtain things, everything, just like the world does. They do it just like the world. Thinking, selfish, thinking of themselves. I'm going to get stuff. I can't share it with anybody else. I got to keep it to myself. What if I don't get any more? You know, this is the actions. This is what Paul wrote in the beginning about the person that was rich. You tell him, hey, trust God. Don't trust in your money. Trust God. God gives you everything liberally to enjoy, so enjoy. See, these people aren't enjoying their lives. They're walking over in an area where, you know, see, people saying, well, see, they're not doing right, so they're not getting them. The part that they're not doing right is when they don't ask by faith. If they ask by faith, they wouldn't be warring trying to get it. They wouldn't be doing that. They're not asking by faith. So always make sure that you ask by faith when you believe God. We have to get this principle in us of God who is a liberal, very, very liberal, abundant giver. Hallelujah. Who's made promise to you, and every promise that he made is always yes to you. You don't have to war. In fact, you don't have to try to covet to get things. You don't have to lust. You don't have to do none of that. Why do that? Why fight for what was already given to you? Isn't that dumb? It already belongs to me, but I'm going to fight for it. No, I'm sorry. It belongs to me. It's mine. You know? I mean, it's like owning a car out there. You got the title for it and everything else. You got the owner's car. You got the title. I don't care, buddy. Somebody wants to walk around here. I say, my car belongs to them. They can say it all they want. Don't bother me in a bit. The car's mine. I got the proof. It's mine. You got the proof. It belongs to you. Why war and fight to get it? Why have to cheat somebody else? Why have to do all kinds of things to try to get stuff? You don't have to do that. We never have to do that. You know, in the church world, people against one another because somebody has stuff and another person don't, and they're upset. Well, that dear person over there, they're this, they got money, but, and, you know, and I see that. I've watched people get upset because God bless another person in the church. Well, they're never going to get anything. They don't realize God, you know, this other person believed God and got it, and they're mad about it instead of believing God and getting it. No, they don't know. They're upset. Somebody else got it. You know, if somebody else gets blessed, praise God. Get blessed. Hallelujah. I'm never going to get upset over somebody else getting blessed. If I want it, then I can get my own. Hallelujah. God will give to me liberally. He'll give to you liberally every time. Well, we're going to close there today. We're still going to go on, though, and still teaching on this, because we're going to look at more scriptures on this liberal. We're just going to keep... So one thing is, we're proving this stuff through the scriptures. I don't care what anybody says. People say, well, that ain't true. Well, I'm sorry. The scripture after scripture. The Bible says, by two or three witnesses, let every word be established. We're going to be a long shot past two or three scriptures on this stuff. Two or three witnesses in the Word. So we're going to look at a lot of other things. We're going to continue in our teaching in this area of laying this foundation, because this is something that you have to believe. This is not something that would be nice to believe. You got to believe a certain way. James said so. James said you got to believe a certain way. Here, we just read this thing, and these people here, why they couldn't receive. If they didn't do it in a certain way, they couldn't get it. They didn't operate in the principles of faith. So they're trying to do what they do and ended up nothing but causing problems. And so we're not going to go there. Hallelujah. So I hope just encourage you today that God is liberal in giving to you. Hallelujah. Praise God. He didn't give you something bad. If something bad comes along, it ain't God. Identify it immediately. Say, hey, this is bad. This ain't no good. This ain't God. You know, I get these people, do you think this is God or not? What are you talking about? It's evil. There's good and there's... Would you put that in the category? Is sickness in the category of good? Did God put this on me? Oh, I've got to think about that one. God's given me all things to enjoy. Woo! He gave me a good dose of cancer. I'm enjoying it. I'm having a big time. He gave me a liberal abundance. I don't have to sit and think 2 seconds about that. It's the devil! This is not God's work. Get over there. Well, you know, I'm poor. I ain't got no money. Well, I'll tell you, did God want it this way? God has me poor for a reason. That's why you go in many countries where Catholicism... Now, there's a lot of countries out here where Catholicism's in their countries, but most people don't believe it. But Catholicism is one of the things I've found going into South America is why there's so many countries where poor in South America. Because Catholicism. Because they keep teaching the people, oh, the poor, you're blessed of God because you're poor. They teach them poverty is what is God has done it for. It's a blessing to people. Well, I'll tell you what, you get a nation of people thinking like that. You think they're going to prosperous nations? It'll never happen. That's why dictators and things take over. Somebody comes along and finally gets fed up of having something, and they become dictators and say, the heck with the church. I want to have something. And all those people want to be poor, and so what they do? Well, let's take all their stuff. Let's let them be poor. They want to be poor. Let's keep them poor. See, it's a lot of nonsense. And you get, that's one thing is in religion. That's why as America became prosperous as a nation, you read our forefathers. Our forefathers did not believe what a lot of the church world has preached when I was a kid. They didn't believe that stuff. They believed God established this nation, and they believed that men were supposed to prosper and do well and have good lives. That's why, you know, the Constitution was written like the way it was. For men's freedom to prosper and to do well. They believed in prosperity. These knuckleheads today, you know. Now, people have gotten over into, over into extremes on it, and they've got over into what I was reading about in James. James says don't do. Because they've just lusted after money. They've used prosperity as a lust after money. We don't do that. That's why if my motive of giving is not just to get, if I already believe I have, I'll never get over in the areas of lust, in the areas of money. I'll never lust for money. Why would I lust for what I have? Would you lust for what you got? Well, no. Do you believe God gives it to you when you ask? Would you lust for it? Well, no. See, this faith stuff is a big help, and it'll keep your mind clearer too. It really will. It'll help you keep your mind clear if you think right. Getting over in right thinking. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we just want to say thank you this morning for showing us all these good things in your word. Father, that edifies and build us up, strengthen us, gives us great wisdom, hallelujah, to walk in your goodness, Lord God, and to follow your plan. And I want to thank you for all that you did for us in Christ Jesus. And Lord God, you truly did bless us, and you gave us everything when you gave us Jesus. And Father, we just want to say thank you. Thank you, Father God, for delivering us from the fear of lack and want. Thank you for delivering us, Father God, from the idea of a Father in heaven who was a tyrant instead of one who loved us and wanted the best for us. Thank you, Father, for revealing these things and showing us these things. And Father, in it we give you the praise and we give you the glory for all that you're accomplishing and doing in us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.